Please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Andy.
Thank you for allowing me to share my hope, strength, and what I've been through Alcoholics Anonymous and before. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I appreciate that. I love the hugging. That's one of the things I've learned. That's one of the things I do a lot of is hugging. My last DUI was in July of 1981, right here on this freeway, 198. I'm originally from Porterville, California, and one day during my, I've been everywhere. So I graduated from high school in 1967, went into the military, and I had started drinking when I was in the military. Prior to that, I did not drink. I ended up in Texas, married to a woman from Texas, and then moved back to Porterville in 1980. And I taught in Porterville 1 year. And while I was there, I had asked God when I was in Texas, if you get me back to California, I will change. And he got me back to California. And what ended up happening is I did change. I changed for the worst. In Texas, I was only drinking Fridays and Saturdays. When I moved back to Porterville, I ended up drinking seven days out of the week. I couldn't wait to get out of teaching so I could get drunk. And it so happened I met a girl in Goshen back then, and I was at the Paul Bunyan in Porterville, and I decided to give her a call and go visit her. So I headed towards Goshen, and then my car blew a donut. I was listening to the muffler and the engine really loud, and all of a sudden I saw those pretty lights behind me. That's when I surrendered to the highway patrolman. That's when he became my higher power at that time, in that moment. You see, back in 1974, when I was in Long Beach, I didn't live in Long Beach, I lived in Harbor City, but I worked in Long Beach, at Cal State Long Beach, as the athletic attendant. I had two DUIs over there, back in 1974. And one was with an auto accident. One individual got hurt, but what saved me is I had insurance, so they dropped my felony to a misdemeanor. And I remember what the judge said. He said, "Andy, Mr. Gomez, if you get one more DUI, I'll make sure that I'll make sure you go to prison, and we'll throw the key away." So when I got that DUI in 1981 in July, I don't remember what day in July, but when I got that ticket, that's what hit me in the head. I'm going to go to jail forever. But prior to that, I had an individual come up to me in Porterville and say, "Hey, Andy, can you drink two beers and stop?" And I said, "Yeah." And all he said was, "I'm glad that you can, but here, if you ever need any help," and he gave me his phone number. Well, I gave that guy a call, and I ended up in the veterans in Fresno at the VA drug program they had up there, alcohol program they had at the VA on the 7th floor in 1981. I'm going to tell you, from that point to this, that year, I had lost everything. I got a divorce from my first wife. I lost my teaching job. Nobody really wanted me around. And so in July 13th is my sobriety, July 13th, 1981. And for that, I'm really grateful. I'm going to tell you, my dad died of alcoholism when I was a senior in high school in Porterville. He died at the age of 46. They found an abandoned car about a block away from where I lived. And my mother, we didn't see him. He died, and we went to his funeral. That's a person I did not want to be like. I didn't drink at that time. And I keep thinking about it. There were three things that I said I wasn't going to do. One, I said I wasn't going to drink. Two, I wasn't going to smoke. And third thing was I wasn't going to marry a Texan. And guess what? I did all three of them. And today I don't say I will never do, because I don't know what God has for me today. Well, July 13th, 1981, I sobered up. And like I said, from that point, my brother, God bless him, he had asked me first time I entered Alcoholics Anonymous, he asked me if I was going to use Alcoholics Anonymous as a crutch. I told him back then, I don't know. I really didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. I had the big book in 1974, though. And I'd read the big book all the way to the Jaywalker back then when I was going to college. And I kept saying, these people are crazy, and I just put that book away. I did that for 7 years. And read that, or at the time I was in Texas and I had that book, I would read all the way to the Jaywalker. I didn't understand a thing about it. I said, these people are crazy, and I just stick it in there. And back with my college book, I don't know why, I just kept doing that. Well, so when I started coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, my brother had asked me that, and I told him I really didn't know. And so I lived in Porterville for 3 months after that. I had a sponsor, and my sponsor said, Andy, before you go move to Bakersfield, there's three things I want you to do. One, I want you to go to Bakersfield and find out where all the meetings are. Two, I want you to do a fourth and fifth step and get rid of the worst three things that bothers you. And then he says, and when you get to Bakersfield, I want you to find a home group and I want you to get a sponsor. Excuse me. So what did I do? I did the fourth step and got rid of the first three things. I did with a priest, Father Gene, in Porterville. And one of the things he told me, he says, Andy, don't put me on a pedestal. I'm a human being. That's what this priest told me. And so when he said that, he and I were looking at each other eye in eye. And he was able to share with me, as I shared my worst three things to him that I needed to get rid of. And we had a good conversation, and I loved the man. The Parr House was, I went to the Parr House a lot during that time. I didn't live there. I lived with my mom. And I went to the Parr House in those 3 months. And I came up here to a dance in Pine something, Pine Manors. They had a dance back then. And so that's where I went. And a lady said, hey, Andy, what are you going to do? Hold that pole up? I looked at her. I was really shy. I said, yeah. Well, that lady, today I run into her in Bakersfield. She moved to Bakersfield. But however, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous from that point up to this point has been one of the best things of my entire life. I did the first, like I said, I did those first three things, talked to the priest, and then I had nightmares and they all disappeared. Falling, never hitting bottom. And I had some olive trees that for some reason I was scared of, and I don't know why. But when I went to the Parr House, there was this guy that needed a ride. And he was going the opposite direction. He was going to go about 5-6 miles further than I planned to go. And I said, okay, I'll give you a ride. Well, I took him to the house where I lived when I was in the third grade in Strathmore. In this ranch, and that's where my fears of the tree was, the branches. And I don't know why, but I felt safe for the first time going there. And that was one of my first miracles in Alcoholics Anonymous. I did find my home group is St. Phillips. It's a Southwestern group in Stockdale Highway in Bakersfield. Sunday night at 7:30 to 8:30. That has been my home group since from the time I moved there in 81. And I'm still there. And the wonderful thing about going into that same group for that many amounts of time is that I had the opportunity to see a lot of people grow in the program. And I've also seen a lot of people go in and out, and I've seen them stay. But those are the people that keep me sober. You people, not me. I don't do anything. You know, I believe this. I believe in the process of the big book. Step one, I believe I am totally an alcoholic and my life is unmanageable. And one time I was trying to think of a way to get away from that and look, and really I didn't really belong back then. And when they read the more about drinking, swearing off and all this, I said, shit, I did some of those stuff. So, but I still didn't really believe it. I kept thinking, I raised my hand, I'm alcoholic, but only up here. Only in the head, only in the cabeza. But I wouldn't feel it here. I did service at that time. I used to pick up people and give them rides to meetings if they didn't have a ride. And this guy and his wife, and from Ohio, they were in the Bakersfield Inn, which is no longer there, called me and needed a ride to a meeting, so I took him to Oildale. And what happened there in Oildale was this guy said, I'm powerless. I'm powerless over alcohol. And my life is unmanageable. I did not feel it up here anymore. I felt it in the heart. And I said, I belong. I have a sponsor, and I still have a sponsor. I've had several sponsors. Either they move or they die. My first sponsor died 2 summers ago. Other sponsors moved, and another sponsor passed away. And I went about almost a year without a sponsor. And I felt awkward, so I have a sponsor again. And what I decided to do is, what we decided to do is, I started reading the big book to him at Denny's every Monday. And we go over the steps, and then I'm doing the steps over again. I'm going into step 5 right now. We haven't completed that yet. That is what keeps me, part of what keeps me sober today. It's only through the grace of God, like I say. I'll be 36 years in July, July 13th. And it's not because of me, it's because of you guys. Each one of you helped me. You newcomers, you keep me coming back. These 3 guys that came with me. You know, I told them I was going to hold their inventories here, but I better not. They're neat guys. They helped me. They helped me stay sober. You know, they helped me more than what they really think. So when I did step 1, I believe I'm an alcoholic. I know I am. And I know that my life is unmanageable because every time I drank, you know, I had no control. Even in sobriety, sometimes if I do it my way, I lose control. Step 2 for me was, who's crazy in here? I know I am. You know? And I think about it. How am I going to get God to restore me from sanity? How am I going to get Him to, so I won't be crazy? The crazy thing is of picking that first drink, knowing what it's going to do to me if I pick up that drink today. I don't know where I would go if I picked up that drink today. I might end up dying. And what impresses me about the craziness about this is that I used to speak at, we had a meeting at Kern Hospital over there. And it was in the auditorium back then. And I remember went there in Porterville. I never got my 30-day chip. So I was in Bakersfield. I wanted to get a 30-day chip. So I was at the hospital in Bakersfield and in the auditorium. And I'm sitting there, and there's this guy who was crying. He went back out. And back in 1981, 82, 83, 84, you know, in those years, we did not have cell phones. They used to tell us to keep us dying. And I remember him sat there crying. He says, I went out and got drunk. He had 10 years of sobriety. And he said, I could have called somebody, but I chose not to. And he had that dying. That stuck into my head. That guy died, but he died with 5 years of sobriety. at the end. But, you know, those are the things that I see and what I keep and maintain in my head is it doesn't change out there for me. So I ask God to help me to get out of this insanity by praying. My wife and I, we pray every morning. This morning we prayed. We read the 24 hours. We read the Al-Anon. We read her OA book, 24 hours. And then we ask God to do God's will, not mine, our hours. And then we're off and running. We do what we need to do. Step three of asking God, giving my will to and my life to God. I did that. I tried to do that. I'm not a saint. I still screw up once in a while. I put my foot in my mouth sometimes. I have to make amends sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to, but I do. And I was talking to my sponsor the other day. I was going to Porterville last month because they called me. They were looking for me. And they even put it in the Porterville Recorder. A bunch of us guys, have you ever seen? And my name came out on top, Andy Gomez, and everybody else. They were looking for the guys that ran on the varsity track team back in 1966, and I was one of them. And they wanted to put us in the Hall of Fame a while or whatever. And I figured, I thought I got rid of all my resentments. Well, this guy who called me, you know, I really didn't like. But I told my sponsors, this guy gave me a call. I said, this friend of mine gave me a call. Then I thought for a minute, well, this acquaintance. And then I said, well, I really don't like the guy. And then my sponsor said, what, 51 years ago, and you still have a resentment over this guy? And I had a look at that. I said, oh, shit. So I saw him, and I spoke to him, and he gave me a hug, and I gave him a hug, and he said, I love you, and I told him I love him, too. You know, but I trust my God. I trust my God today. I trust the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, what it says in there. You know, I just said four and five, like I said, but this time I did the whole thing and I let my, and when I just said four and five, I did everything, but I told myself I wasn't going to tell anybody about this incident. I was going to keep it a secret. I was sober 10 years as sobriety, and I was starting to get crazy. I could feel the monkey on my shoulder squeezing because of that one thing that I did not want to tell. So I had to call my sponsor, Mick, at the time. I said, Mick, I need to get with you. Either I was going to go crazy, or I may go back to drinking, and I didn't want to go back to drinking. And he came over, and we went to Carl's Jr. and got a drink, and we went in the car, and I told him my secret that I didn't want to tell. I didn't want to tell, and guess what? From that point to this point, I have not had the monkey on my back. From that point on, and I'm really grateful for that. I made amends to my dad, written mend. I made amends to a sister who died back in when both of us graduated from Porterville High in 67, and we were both at Porterville College, and she died as a freshman of some ailment. We don't know if it was leukemia or not back then. They didn't really know. And I turned my back on God when all those things have happened. And then shortly after that, I started drinking after I went into the military. I find that I was able to make amends to everybody. I needed to make an amends to my... I made amends to my ex-wife, but I never made my amends to her two kids. We never had any kids, and I couldn't sleep, and I kept telling my present wife, you know, I got to make amends to these people. So last August, 34 years later, I started to do some searching, and I found out my ex-wife died at the age of 65. I found out that her son, or my stepson, died at the age of 48. He was homeless, I found out. He was riding a bike, and a drunk on a motorcycle hit him and killed him. But I was able to get a hold of my stepdaughter, and so in August of last year, I flew over there to see her, to make my amends to her. I only saw her one day, and I was there the whole week. And it became an adventure for me. But I saw this young lady who was 50. And when I left, she was 13, 14 years old. She had her mom's ashes. She gave them to me to hold. It kind of felt weird. And then I gave her a hug, and we talked until midnight. I had a bunch of pictures that I wanted to give her that my mother had that I ended up with, and I gave them to her when she was little. And I haven't heard from her since. But I'm going to tell you, I still text her. I let her know I'm doing. I ask her how she's doing, and I pray for her. No matter what. That's what one guy who was my temporary sponsor at the Rio Grande in Scoas told me. He was writing to his kids. They never wrote to him, and he died with 53 years of sobriety, and they never talked to him. Well, she talked to me, and she told me that I really didn't do anything to affect her. And she said, matter of fact, you influenced me. And I said, how did I influence you? What did I do to help you? He says, well, you being a teacher, I became a teacher. I was a special ed teacher. She became a special ed teacher, and I didn't even know it. She didn't even know I was a special ed teacher. And she has a master's in that area. And I'm proud of her, and I'm proud of the people that I was able to go down there and see her. And that was part of my amends 34 years later. Six and seven, I look at my character defects, I have them. I know sometimes I'm a procrastinator. I'm a big procrastinator. I put things off, 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 off. Matter of fact, there's a hole in my garage. I procrastinated so bad. That hole has been in that spot over 20 years. And I keep saying, I'm going to fix it. I haven't yet. So, you know, I do procrastinate. I do things and I hold out sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, doing then at night, I do 10 and 11. And when I do those at night, I just say, thank you, God, for another good day. If I'm able to sleep comfortably, and most of the time I am. But if I toss and turn, then I know there's something wrong and I have to deal with that because I won't be able to sleep. I know that. The 12 steps, I do a lot of service. I work with others. I don't do it for any pay or anything. I enjoy it. I call it my calling today. And I know a lot of people, more people than I thought I would, from all over the state of California. I've been in Morgan. I had a temporary sponsor in Morgan Hill when I taught in Hollister. I had a temporary sponsor at the coast because my wife and I go there every summer to take care of our granddaughter. And also, I've met people in Washington, D.C., and New Orleans. And that's all due to the fact that I have been able to stay sober for the grace of God, only for the grace of God. And the thing is, I get their phone numbers in Washington, D.C. and New Orleans when I was up there, because when I wanted to go to a meeting, they would tell me where to go. One day I was in Bakersfield in the back acre, and I think it was during Easter or something like that, and I got a phone call, and the guy says, hey, Andy, let's go jog. Because I was a jogger, and I was a runner. And I didn't know who he was. And I says, where are you? He says, I'm in Washington, D.C. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's meet halfway. And then he asked me where I was at. I said, I'm from California. And he got my name mixed up with another Andy that he does run with. But he's a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's the neatest part, is that I was able to talk to him, and he called me. You know, I've been given a lot of gifts, more than I anticipated. I lost my teaching job in 1981, not because of my drinking, but mainly because I did not take the test. I took the test and I failed it and had to resign. Then I got my DUI and everything just like a domino effect just fell apart. And I ended up getting divorced that same year from my ex-wife, and I was drinking. Then that's when I got my last DUI. When I left Porterville, I ended up substituting in Bakersfield, and I made a mistake. When we fill out the application for teaching, I put only one DUI. And I came here to Visalia to judge. You see the judge here? Back in July of 81. He said I only had one DUI, but the other two had already been over the amount of time. So I didn't put those two in. The teaching commission pulled my substitute teaching credentials. They said I can't teach because I didn't tell them about those two other ones in 74. I had just gotten my year sobriety, and I was at the Alano Club over there crying. And then I started complaining and crying. And then this lady came up to me and said, "Andy, quit your whining." And I looked at her, "What do you mean?" She said, "Go back to school." So I went back to school and got my California teaching credential. And the teaching commission... The teaching commission sent me a letter stating, you can go back to teaching. However, don't get another DUI or any other kind of offense like that, or you'll lose your credential forever. Through the grace of God and the program of alcoholics, which I'm really grateful for, is I was able to retire as a teacher. June of 2013, I retired as a school teacher. They asked me to substitute now. I tell them no. I enjoy what I do. And what I do is working with people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I volunteer at a Catholic school over there. It's called St. Francis. I am their track and cross-country coach. And I do it just for fun. And the reward I got this time was two kids made it to Valley. One of the kids didn't get any medals, but he came up to me and said, he says, "Mr. Gomez," I said, "Yes." He says, "This has been the most 3 years fun with you." And he's going into high school. The other girl, I never worked with her. She had a coach from Bakersfield College, but she went to our school, so she wanted to be part of the track team. And that's the only way she would have been able to participate. I let her. She got fourth and fifth. And she came over and congratulated, and she said, "Thank you for allowing me to do what I needed to do." And I gave her some suggestions. I ran track and cross country in Porterville High School and Porterville College back then. That brother I told you about, well, before him, my mother, just before my 13th year of sobriety, my mother passed away. She died a minute before the 4th of July of cancer. She went to take care of my sister in San Diego who had breast cancer, then went to Redlands, my other sister's house, to visit, and then she got up and the next morning they thought she had jaundice, but her liver had cancer in it. And so my brother and I, we spent all summer with her there in Redlands, staying up, one of us staying up all night, alternating. But in the times that I wasn't taking care of her, I was at an AA meeting in Redlands, Yucaipa, wherever in that area, in San Bernardino. My mother called me into her room before she died, and she said, "Andy, Alcoholics Anonymous," she says, that program, she didn't say Alcoholics Anonymous, she said, "Andy, that program that you're going to has changed you so much. You're not the same Andy, even before you started drinking, not so much it changed you. When you were born and I look at you now, you're no longer that way. They changed you." And she says, "Keep going to those meetings." She She says, there, keep going to the meeting. I told my mom I would. And she died a minute before 4th of July. She said she was going to go out in a bang. And she did, you know. And my experience with that was I wasn't afraid, but I could feel her spirit leave. So God gave me another miracle and another opportunity. God has given me a lot of opportunities throughout Alcoholics Anonymous and what it has done for me. Just doing those steps. I'm no longer in prison up here. I'm a free person today. I can go anywhere I want as long as my spiritual condition is maintenance of that spiritual condition, what I do with Alcoholics Anonymous. That brother I mentioned, he lives here in Visalia. He ended up having cancer at the age of 55, throat cancer. He had to quit his job at Edison. He retired early. And he was okay. And then later, in his 60s and 70s, started having it came back. And he and I would go golfing in Wood Lake. I understand that course is closed now. But that's where we used to go golfing a lot. I hated him when I was growing up. I think about what he did to me one time. He would tickle me until I would cry. I mean, he would tickle me until literally I cried. And for me, that became a pain, you know. And if anybody touched me, like they were going to tickle me, I would move away from him. Well, I love that guy. He became my best buddy. I was very fortunate that, and the three guys, not through me. Later on, his throat cancer, and he had, it went in his liver, in his lungs, not his liver, but in his lungs. And so he and I would go golfing as much as we could. So when I retired, I was here in Visalia once a week. We'd go. He couldn't eat no longer. He went about 5 years without eating. He had a tube. So I'd pick him up. We went golfing. He figured a way to pull that tube so it wouldn't go flopping all over. And we had a lot of fun. My little brother lives in Porterville still. He's a school teacher in Delano. He would go golfing with us too. And I was able to tell that brother, and sitting in his house one day, I said, Rob, remember when you asked me back in July, back in 81, what Alcoholics was going to do for me, and I told you I did not know, or if I was going to use it as a crutch, I didn't know. Alcoholics Anonymous for me has been one of the best crutches in my entire life. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be talking to you here today. It is. You newcomers, welcome. Keep trudging the road of happy destiny. I find that I have so much fun today. And life is life. Things will happen. I lost a step grandson when he was when he graduated out of high school. He got hit by a car, a truck where he was working. Other members of my family, you know, either ended up sick. So, you know, life is life. I lost a dear friend just recently. He had 38 years of sobriety. He was the first one I met when I moved to Bakersfield. Neat person. Neat person. We're helping a guy named Bert. We call him the philosopher. He has 42 years of sobriety. Now he's in a convalescent home, and his daughter and I, and she lives in Washington. He doesn't have anybody in Bakersfield, but he does have a lot of family there, us. And we hold a meeting at the convalescent hospital where he's at. And we're working to see if we could get transportation so he could go to the men's stag on Tuesday and central office on Thursday. I visit him as much as possible. I love the people in Alcoholics Anonymous. I love the people in Bakersfield. I've been in Bakersfield. I met my wife there, and we've been married over 30-some-odd years. I have two sons, a daughter. I have two stepkids, and my son and my daughter. My stepson doesn't want nothing to do with us. My stepdaughter said some things that hurt. It really did hurt. And I went to talk to my sponsor about it. And all I do is pray for it because I love them both. And when I got my master's back in 1980 in Texas, I had no family there. My daughter got her master's just this past Thursday. And I'm so grateful, so grateful that I'm sober to be there for her. My son, he's in the program, but lately he's been telling me he doesn't need it, kind of. But I told him, and I don't tell him to go. That's not my business. But all I told him is, if you need it, you know where to go. My wife is a member of Al-Anon. She's a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and she's a member of OA. And I love her dearly. So thank you for letting me share. And I want to tell you, newcomers, keep coming back, because you'll have a life that you'll never forget. Thank you.